All right. If you want to take your Bibles and go to the book of Genesis, we're going to go to chapter 2 of Genesis. What a time to be alive, isn't it? Now, Genesis chapter 2 will start in verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Pretty straightforward verse, isn't it? It's obvious that this is when God created or started to create all of the living things on this wonderful place that we call planet Earth. We're going to continue, verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that it is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20, And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Isn't this just so fascinating? Man had the greatest reason to live at this moment in time. God created him, and he was given the responsibility from God himself to name all of the animals that had been created. I mean, the environment was perfect. And he was given a partner that we now know as a woman. He was given basically the entire Garden of Eden except one thing, which I would say is a small price to pay for what that must have been like. Life was great. It couldn't have gotten any better than that. But unfortunately, we know exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Man was tempted and deceived for the very first time into going against the simple instructions that God had given. And as a result, man had lost that spiritual connection with God. But of course, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God made a promise of the promised seed to redeem mankind for all eternity. And you know what? Three things come from that verse. Someone is coming, someone has come, and someone is coming again. And the last part of that statement is what we are now awaiting. We are waiting for Christ to come again so that we can get the heck out of here. But in the meantime, I wanted to tackle a question, as per usual, and that is, what is life all about? There's an undetermined amount of time between now and then when we leave this place. And for many out in this world, life is about making as much money or landing the highest paying job as they possibly can. Some may live to eat and not eat to live, if you know what that means. But perhaps God didn't put us here just to indulge ourselves or have a good time, at least in the way most probably mean it. God put us here for what I would call a purpose. And that purpose is to live for Him and experience the joy of His presence every single day. The problem is, God wants us, He wants to be the center of our lives, but so do we, which is a common characteristic of the human nature. We want to run our own lives and do whatever we want as much as we can and be free to do so. And we want to do anything we please because we think that must be the path for our purpose. But when we live only for ourselves, we find that it doesn't bring us purpose after all. In fact, a life of self-indulgence only leads to emptiness. And that's what the human nature is all about. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, God has another way for us, God's way. And it alone is the way of peace, and it alone will bring us true joy. As we learned last weekend, there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy comes from within. And not only that, but His path alone will lead us to where we're going to end up, which is eternity spent in the heavenlies. Okay? John chapter 10, verse 10, we all know this one. "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." More abundantly. You know, I think we've all been subject to this at one point or another. We thought that life's purpose was determined by the amount of money we have in the bank, or the kind of car we drive, or other things of that nature. But then that someone came along and helped us realize what life is actually all about: living for God and being His hands and feet. We had a Power Pack weekend last weekend discussing how fellowshipping with the Father is the secret or the key to living a fulfilling Christian life. And of course, you're welcome to go back and review those recordings, since there's a lot of other important points that Bob made. But I wanted to read a few scriptures that kind of talk about this idea of purpose. All right? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And I love this record here. In Acts chapter 26, when Jesus is talking to Paul, and in verse 16 it says, "But rise up, Paul, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and the power and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." See, all wonderful verses about purpose, but I wanted to read a short story to kind of wrap things up here, and this is called Finding God's Purpose in My Life. I can remember being a young teenager up in my attic bedroom with the lace curtains. A lot of time was spent sitting on my bed, staring out that window to the fields and mountains beyond, wondering what my purpose was. I fully knew that God created me for a reason, but I couldn't understand what he wanted me to do with my life. I was so busy trying to think my way to finding God's purpose for my life that I had immobilized myself. It was naive of me to think at that time that this feeling of uncertainty would disappear as I got older. It's only teenagers who struggle with the big life questions, I thought to myself. I laugh now, thinking about how much I had to learn. Now, as an adult, I find myself thinking and praying through so many of life's biggest questions. A lot of those questions, I'm no more certain of the answer now than I was as a teenager, but I am more confident in God's Word, and I'm able to rest in that more than I did back then. God's Word has been the biggest answer for me on my quest to finding God's purpose for my life. If you're asking yourself this question, I know from experience that it's likely causing you some stress. I want you to know that God wants you to rest in the knowledge of something beautiful. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. Now, does that sound like a God who wants you to live in stress and toil away about missing your purpose? It certainly doesn't sound that way to me. The God described in that beautiful song is an intricately and intimately involved God. That is not the kind of God that doesn't have a plan for you or is content to let you waste away your days in the worry of being unsure of your purpose. I think we've all gotten to the conclusion that the Word of God makes all the difference in the world. So while we're waiting for Christ to come back, we know what we have to do. We have to live according to the purpose of God's mighty calling to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you want to further prove that, I encourage you to read the classic section in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, all the way through the end. All right? So I'm going to pray, and then we'll say goodnight. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for each heart this evening, that you can further exhort us and encourage us to live according to what you have called us to do, Father. It's an incredible reality we get to live. We have Christ in us. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel of your Son. And of course, in this world, we know that that's a great challenge, but it's something we're willing to take on, Father, as we already have. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.